Welcome, good evening, another podcast.
Another podcast.
Your host, Jason Maynard.
All right, man. So this is podcast number three.
We're in the mix.
What's the topic of discussion?
What do we have on the agenda today?
What's on the agenda?
Christmas.
Oh, shit. The most wonderful time of the year. It's great.
Beginning of December. Already got the Christmas tunes pumping in all the stores.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Oh, my God. It's so bad. I'm completely not a Christmas guy. I'm pretty sure you already know this, but I don't like the holidays. Like, I pretend I'm a Jehovah's Witness sometimes just so that I don't have to celebrate, because I clearly am not down with the holidays.
I can't buy you any gifts because I don't celebrate.
Well, like Mr. Michael Trinidad, when he used to live with me, he's like, Jason, I'm going to get a Christmas tree for the house. And I'm like, what? You crazy? I don't want any Christmas tree in the house. And I'm like, why would you? I don't want you to go and spend $40 on a Christmas tree for no reason.
Yeah.
And my main thing about Christmas and the holiday season is, one of the reasons why I don't like it is because a lot of people simply can't afford the holiday season, and it makes them miserable and makes them depressed. It's like, why would I want you to go and spend $40 on a Christmas tree when I know how much money you have and you don't frankly have money to waste on a stupid Christmas tree?
And he's $40 short on rent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not down with people going into debt and sitting there, oh my God, I have to buy my girlfriend this. Oh my God, I have to give my parents this.
People get stressed out, man.
It's a stressful time. It's supposed to be a great. It's supposed to be a great holiday.
Yeah,
filled with good food and all kinds of other nonsense. But no, people lose their mind over just over the whole pressures of trying to keep up with what everybody else wants.
With the Joneses and trying to impress people.
To me, that's
with like their gifts and whatever.
Completely
ridiculous.
I don't buy nobody no presents.
It's a thought that counts. That's what you gotta tell people.
I spent the last 10 years. Full decade convincing my father not to buy me anything, and I'm not gonna buy you anything, and leave the fine china in there. I'll eat off of plastic dishes. Like, there's nothing worse than having to pull out all this old china shit that you don't even appreciate it. Like, I don't appreciate it. To me, it's just an old ugly plate. And the worst part about it is then after Christmas dinner is over, you have to go and wash all this old shit.
Yeah.
And you're so nervous that you're going to break it.
You got to pack it all away.
Forget it. Finally, it's been 10 years. Now I can go over there Christmas time. We'll like eat off of the regular plates. 1 year we even had styrofoam plates or paper plates. I was like, oh, this is brilliant.
Keep it a gangsta.
Do clean up. Like, it doesn't really mean that much. I'm like, don't buy them anything. Now they don't buy us gifts. We don't have to buy them gifts. We show up. Me and my brother, we show up at their house for Christmas, and that's like Christmas present is like us just being together for one meal out of the year. Like, that's a good gift. To me, that's
no pressure, man. Christmas. It's no pressure.
And it's perfect. No more china, man. Thank God. No more gifts. Like, oh, it's so beautiful.
No more washing dishes.
Go there, show up, eat, have a laugh. My dad buys a 6-pack every year.
There you go.
He drinks one. I drink two. The other three stay there till the next Christmas.
Vintage beer.
Yeah.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and they're complaining. I think it's like Sweden or somewhere, but they have a Santa Claus, and they have a helper, and the helper's a little black elf.
No, they don't have black elves.
I swear to God, it's a little black elf. And people were complaining that, I don't even know what it was, but like, uh-oh, just like a woman was complaining that her son or her daughter could not celebrate her version of Santa Claus because of the little black helper.
Well, tell that lady to die.
And she was just like, what's the big deal? So what? He has a little black helper helping him out with the gifts. What's the big deal?
I guess that some people just don't
it's
like
crazy.
It.
It's crazy. People just, I don't know, it's nuts.
I don't even see what the big deal about it is, to tell you the truth. It's not. It's like, aren't we all equal people these days?
I guess so. I don't even know, man. I don't even know.
People got a lot of issues about race.
Race relations. Yeah.
Racism is going to be a one full filled podcast, because I got a lot of friggin' issues with it. I had a lot of stuff to say about racism, like pro and con. Like, there's a lot of, when it comes, I'll only speak about black racism because I'm black and that's what I know, but there's a lot of black people that take advantage of the race card.
You got to play the card sometimes.
They pull it. Some people pull it quick. Yeah. They're quick on the draw. Like, I can't get a job because I'm black. It's not because you're black. It's because you're lazy. Like, it has nothing to do with that. I have a friend who, this guy can't keep a job. He's, oh, these people don't like me because I'm black. Dude, it's probably because you're the laziest person I've ever met in my entire life. Has nothing to do with being black or white. Like,
well, maybe it does, though. Maybe blackness, you're born with laziness.
A lazy gene?
I
don't think so. If your black was born with a lazy gene, then the white people wouldn't have picked this up and put us on a boat to pick cotton for fucking 25 hours a day.
That's true.
If we were lazy, they would have went out and got the Chinese or the Indians. But obviously, we don't have a lazy gene. That's bullshit. We just have lazy people now.
It's true, man. People are just lazy in general.
Quite frankly, I'm sick of lazy people. I got to be out there working seven days.
Crazy. 20, it's true, man.
28 hour shifts. I still got nothing. No money. It's
probably because you're black.
It's definitely because I'm black.
That's the one crazy thing. Hey, I guess everyone should know that today is Mr. Maynard's birthday.
Yeah, 24.
What year were you born? Quick test.
We'll just leave it at I'm 24.
All right.
Nobody needs to know. There's a few people in the world that might end up hearing this that don't quite know how old I really am. Or how young I really am.
How old are you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm 24.
I could potentially be how old up are to you? 37 or as young as 22. I'll just leave it at that. I'm all somewhere right in the middle. It's
girls like guys that are mysterious.
I'm super mysterious. So, James, how'd you like that Jay-Z Kanye West concert last week?
That shit was cray.
That shit was cray.
It was pretty nuts, man. The one thing I have to say is they put a whole new twist on Encores.
Definitely a twist that I'm not into that kind of twist.
Oh shit.
That was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. It was I like the whole show for the most part. I have a few issues. I think I discussed them with you already. You get black performers, you dress them up in all black, and then you turn the lights out. And expect me to believe that they're really there. Like, why do they keep the place so dark? Why don't they turn some lights up so we can see these guys? Like, if we had to pay for these tickets and it's like $300 a ticket and the lights are off and you can't see who's up there, I would have been so pissed. And there's so many people that I met. They're like, oh my God, there's the best concert ever. I was looking on Twitter. People were saying, oh, this concert changed lives.
What?
I mean, that's crazy. If you pay $400, $500 to be on the floor, damn right it's changing your life.
Guess what? For the next month,
you're not eating. Right? Like, of course it changed lives. Like, it completely did not change lives, but you can't be objective. You can't have an objective view. If you spent $500 of your hard-earned dollars to go watch a concert, you're not going to be like, that concert was shit. You're going to be like, that concert was amazing. Like, you have to tell yourself this is the greatest thing ever.
Justify the fact
you have to justify the money you just spent.
A week's worth of money.
I definitely wouldn't
on one night.
I wouldn't have spent that much money on the ticket. I didn't think it was that great. I thought it was a good concert.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. But
you can't do encore six times in a row, bro.
Yeah, so I guess whoever doesn't know about this Jay-Z Kanye West concert, last song, of course, you know, like all the greats to do encores and whatever. So they decided to come out on stage and do an encore, but not of, you know, like three songs or whatever, but the same song five or six times halfway through the song.
That shit cray.
Not even the full song they went through.
They went halfway
through the song, stopped it, and then they started all over again.
And then
they're
like, hey, you dummies, you want to hear this song again? Okay.
Woo! Yeah, let's hear it again, Kanye and Jay-Z. It's crazy.
Goodness. That's why they say that shit's cray, because it's like my audience is cray.
Yeah.
These people are lunatics. I was like, really? You're starting to insult me. You guys have, like, Jay-Z's got 500 songs. Kanye West has got 150 hit songs. These guys got songs that they could do. You don't have to play the same thing over and over. But somebody was telling me that they're trying to break some record of most encores.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what
Isn't
somebody
that cheating,
was telling
though? That sounds like it's cheating, though, to
well,
me.
I don't know.
Playing the same song halfway through five times.
I don't know if it's cheating or not, but that's just what somebody told me. They said that they're trying to break the reason why they're doing this, because the night before, I guess they played it four times in a row.
Crazy.
But I guess they're going for some record, maybe to do the most encores throughout a tour ever. Like, it's some sort of great accomplishment, I guess.
Guinness Book of World Records.
I guess when you have too much money, you sold enough records, you got a hot pregnant girlfriend, you got really nothing. I know it's a great idea. Let's break a record for the most encores on a tour. Like, they're just getting bored and lazy. Quite frankly.
Yeah. It was a good concert, though, man. I have to say, it was pretty good. And I have to say again, I'm glad I didn't pay $300 for those tickets.
Oh my!
Getting
God. Beer
spilled from above.
Oh,
that was horrible.
Oh, some idiot down the top level.
Yeah.
The poor smuck that paid $85 for his ticket. Spilling beer all over.
All the bottom seats.
Yeah. Okay, guy.
For $300, you can get beer spilled all over you from up top.
Not to mention the beer was outrageously expensive, too. So, but
yeah,
welcome to the ACC.
The one thing that I thought was cool is they never patted anyone down. Or at least they didn't pad me down. I don't know.
You thought that was cool?
I thought it was, you know, usually when you go to like a hip hop concert, you know, like they're always like patting people down and checking and like questioning and all this. It seemed to be all right.
I was looking for some metal. Well, guess what? When you when you price your tickets at, you know, 500, 300, you're not getting that many knuckleheads showing up at your show.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why the audience was
relatively tame. Yeah.
Yeah. Relatively white. That's kind of
relatively
what we're not white. Saying that white people don't tote guns, but you know,
but yeah, no, it's true. It was a big white crowd with some black folks peppered in, man. Yeah,
that's it. It was good though. I really had a good time. Then we went out afterwards, met some interesting people at the sports bar.
Yeah, that's true.
Stayed up way too late for a Thursday night.
Yeah, it was a good Thursday night though. They're doing something good, though, man. They have people in control of what's going on. Like, throw the diamonds in the sky. The whole place is all lit up. And, like, everyone was just, like, in a trance, man. Like, they can tell people to go out and kill people right now.
And
people would do it.
They'd be like, I paid $500. I'll do whatever you say, Mr. Z.
I'll do whatever it takes.
No, you want to know what? They do have massive control because they're that popular. These are superstars.
Yeah, they are superstars. Yeah. Sold out two shows, ACC, Toronto, Ontario. Two nights, two shows, sold out.
Then they went over to Montreal.
You know, it's crazy, too. They didn't have a band on stage. Just like, what, three guys on stage? So they're keeping their costs down pretty low. They're making a shitload of money.
Oh.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible how much money.
No
opening act.
Nobody else. No musicians. You have two guys on a keyboard, one DJ.
Yeah.
You know, a couple sound dudes, a couple light people.
Yeah.
That's it. Kanye needs a new chain.
That's crazy. That shit cray. And that's like the new thing now, right? You take out that one letter.
You start taking out letters. Like, black people are just like, yeah, well, I don't want to speak regular people English. Let me take crazy, take out the Z, We'll create my own new word. And now everybody's saying it.
It's true. Everyone is saying it.
Why? What's so cray? What's so cray about these things? I don't know. You know what's cray?
What's that?
The NBA is coming back. I know you're not a big sports guy, James.
But I mean, after this big long strike that they had, what was the strike all about anyways? It was about like getting a random amount of money as per usual.
It's about money, greed, and the stupidity. Ladies. Quite frankly, I've probably said it before, but I'll say it a thousand times. NBA players should be thankful that they get to play basketball and get paid a fortune.
It's true. Because I have to agree with that.
Guess what? When you're 7'3" in the real world and you can't play basketball or you can't play football, you work in the circus. You're a freak show. You're either a bouncer at a nightclub or you're in the circus because there's not really anything else out there for you.
Oh, man. It's so true.
So quite frankly, these guys should be like, I'll do anything. And they're arguing over just...
It was coming down to like
half a 2%. The players had 52%. The owners had the owners wanted a 50-50 split on NBA related income.
Jersey sales and all this other nonsense.
And it's like, really? You guys think that the players will say, well, there's no product without us.
Yeah.
And the owners say, well, there's no league without us.
Yeah.
And I always side with the owners in all of these cases for the simple fact that when I go to work, my boss, the owner of the company that I work for, he makes more money than I do.
Yeah.
I think it works probably the same way at your work and at a lot of other people's work. So it's like, why? And it can work the same way. It's like, well, without me, your job's not going to get done. And without him, I don't have a job.
Yeah.
The owner's got to make more money because he's also taking a risk. He has a massive financial risk. The guys who own the NBA teams have to put up their franchises are worth, you know, $500, $600 million.
Yeah.
Somebody goes and buys a $500 or $600 million franchise and nobody comes to the stadium because it was put in a wrong place because they didn't check demographics and traffic areas, whatever.
Yeah.
And their team goes out of business and the owner loses hundreds of million dollars a year. The owners don't say, oh, you know what? Let me help you out and we'll take a salary cut. They never, ever do that. The owners have all the risks. That's why the owners should be getting paid. If it was up to me, I would say, listen, you dummies. When I used to say this rant, I used to say monkeys, but people would just freak out. In a perfect world, it should be, listen, here's how it's going to be, Mr. Kobe Bryant. The top salary is $500,000. And guess what? I'm going to make $35 million next year as the owner, but you're going to make $500,000. You don't want to play here? Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is the league.
Yeah,
you can come and play basketball for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to get this?
It's true.
Nowhere. So forget it. That's it. It's a cap. You don't want to play? Go home. Go play in your backyard.
You know what? There's so many other kids out there, too, who'd want to play for however much money just to be in the NBA.
I would play for $40 an hour. And the game's only an hour. Come on, man.
It's so true. That's like one of the reasons why I stopped watching sports is because like it started getting all about the money and stuff. It's no longer sports. Yeah, it's not sports.
Business.
Yeah, it's a business.
And
then sometimes I started thinking like some of these games seem to be a little bit fixed or something. Maybe they, I don't know, I'm Mr. Conspiracy or whatever. You know, like maybe they decide ahead of time, you know, like which team should win going all the way through.
Maybe
it's not that orchestrated. Obviously, it's probably not that orchestrated, but you never know.
I wouldn't say it's definitely not that orchestrated, but it's
cray.
It can be pretty close. Like you, for whatever reasons, there's some teams that consistently win, and then there's other teams like Milwaukee that consistently lose.
Yeah.
New York consistently wins. Yeah. Milwaukee never wins.
Yeah.
Big markets, man. You got big markets like LA, Chicago, New York.
Yeah, it's true.
These teams got to win because they carry the entire league. But
yeah,
I just want to say good for these dummies to get back to work. They're only playing a 66-game season starting on Christmas Day. But nobody really cares about the NBA anyways till after Christmas, till pretty much the new year. Seasons are freaking too long. Football is number one sport. People don't even watch basketball till football's over.
Yeah. Hockey too, isn't it? Isn't hockey?
I could give a shit about hockey too. But and I even like hockey, but I'll, this is my thing about sports. When I was growing up as a kid, I used to be a huge sports fan. Like, I follow everything. I read the stats. I know everything.
Yeah, you follow the players.
As I've gotten older, it's like, you know what? These guys don't give a shit about me. These guys don't care. Why am I so invested in these guys? And after you see players that quit on the court, they're not playing as hard as they can, and then you find out, oh, guess what? Why would I just signed a 5-year contract for $100 million, and then they all of a sudden they can't play as good as they played before. Stuff like
that. It's the pressure, man. Sometimes money pressure, you know, the pressure of money.
You think it's pressure, or do you think it's like, well, fuck, I already got $100 million guaranteed money. See you later. Why am I gonna play so hard for
it? I guess so, because it's like those players who get signed like 5-year contracts, you know what I mean? So they're pretty much guaranteed. Whatever it is inside their contract, they're pretty much guaranteed a certain amount of cash for that entire time that they're playing for the team. So they can pretend to break their ankle or whatever else. And
yeah, people quit, and just, man,
chill out.
Contracts are ridiculous. In a perfect world, in my world, it would be every contract would be incentive based, and you it's pay per performance. It's like piecework. You know, every basket you get score, a bonus. You get $100 a basket, Kobe. You know,
could you imagine that? That would change the game.
It would change.
That would change the game.
It would change everything.
And that would be incredible. That's actually a better way to run the NBA, perhaps. I don't know.
It would just mean that it would hold people accountable. It would be like, okay, you want to know what? Instead of me giving you Kobe's getting, I think, like $24 million a season. Instead of me giving you $24 million and it's guaranteed money, he gets that all. Even if he retires, he's still getting
it. What am I doing with my life?
Instead of me giving this to you, hoping that you're going to have as good of a season as you had last year, mm-hmm. or play up to your potential that you played last year, why not? You know what? I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $1,000 a point.
Or bonus.
No, like, this is your salary.
Oh, shit.
So guess what? You get hurt and you don't score, you don't get paid.
That's crazy, man. That'd be good.
That would be crazy, but there would be people that got paid. It would literally increase competition and be like, this is how we're paying people in the NBA now. You get $500 for every rebound.
Yeah.
You get $300 for every block shot.
Yeah.
You get $1,000 for every point you get. And that's it. Then guess what? Everybody would want to score.
Yeah.
Everybody would want to grab a rebound. Everybody would be blocking shots, not taking fouls. Like, it would make the game. It would make. I'm gonna. I might just start my own league with it's like the incentive league, incentive only. And some players have that. I know in like football or like baseball, it's like just they get like a base salary, like whatever the lowest salary is.
Yeah.
They get like all incentives. So if you hit like. In hockey, if you hit 10 goals, you get a $100,000 bonus. If you hit 30 goals, if you make an all-star team, if you win a Stanley Cup, if your team makes the playoffs, if you get a certain amount of assists.
That's the way it should be, man, because everyone's trying with their heart, man.
Of course.
Or with the thought of money in mind, you know what I mean?
Well, this is the only reason why half these players play. This is why people go to school now for 1 year, and then they go right to the NBA because you sign a humongous deal without ever even playing in the NBA, and they give you a gigantic amount of money. You've gone from being poor to being rich overnight, and then you end up playing in the league for 3 years, squander all your money, and end up in jail. And it happens to so many players.
End of story.
There's a guy named Antoine Walker. That guy, I think he amassed like $140 million over his NBA career.
Jeez.
And the guy's like on the run in Utah. He's completely out of money.
What the?
It's unbelievable how these guys just tear through more money than
it's crazy, man.
I'll ever dream of.
It's crazy. That's the thing, though. Like, the grass is always greener on either side. Like, I wonder if me or you would do anything differently.
I would do so much differently, and it's so easy to say that I would, but
yeah.
I know that maybe as a young person, listen, if I amassed $150 million, I guarantee you I would never be broke. I would never find myself in that
situation. Yeah.
The whole lifestyles of some people are just outrageous. But the thing is, a lot of people, you have to set yourself up so you know you're done playing basketball. Guess what? Now you're not getting paid anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So either you're going to live off of all the money that you made for the rest of your life. So you're going to have to change your lifestyle because this money has got to last you forever. But I mean, you can still live such a great lifestyle. I could live in Toronto, and if I had $150 million, I could buy a $1 million condo. It'd be a beautiful place. It could be downtown. I could be set up for forever.
You'd be set up for life, man. That's exactly, that's all you need.
I don't know what people are buying.
Really, no. How do you
spend that money?
A lot
crack.
Of crack.
Gambling. No, he was a big gambler because he had a gambling thing. They were looking for him down, and I think it was for some reason I want to say Utah. Like he took out
Utah,
like
a, so nice.
Took out like
Mormons.
$250,000 loan at the casino, which should be against the law anyways.
Jeez.
And then he never went and paid it back.
But still, I mean, he could pay it back though with the amount of money he was making.
Now he's out of money.
Jeez, man, there must be more to it than just that.
Do you hear about this other thing about this guy in BC? It really, really, it makes me crazy. This guy, he's a gambling addict.
All right.
And so at the casino, you can put your name on a list that says, you know, don't let me into the casino because I have a gambling problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this guy, he's like, okay, I got a gambling problem. I can't be gambling. Mm-hmm. So he puts his name on this list, like don't let me in the casino.
Yeah, do not let me in list.
But he still goes to the casino.
They still let him in?
They let him in.
What the?
He goes there, loses his money, but then guess what happened? He hit a fucking jackpot.
What?
He hit a jackpot, 40 grand.
Oh.
When you get a $40,000 jackpot, right. You have to produce your ID so that they'll give you your check.
No.
So he gives them their ID. They're like, oh, you're on the do not playlist. We can't give you this money.
What? What?
Is there something wrong with that? I want your opinion on this.
There's something definitely wrong with that. So they pretty much stole his money. That's exactly what happened. They stole his money. They knew damn well that he shouldn't be inside of there. Spending the money that he doesn't have in the first place, and the fact that he went out of his way to try to better himself by being blocked from these places, but they still let him in so he can spend the money that he doesn't have or didn't want to spend. And when he finally won, they said, sorry, you're on the do not let. Like, that's wrong.
I would take
that casino to court.
He is,
but how could you though? That's like a huge loophole. That sounds like a huge loophole.
There is. It's going through the courts right now. I'm not even sure. I know. I can't remember exactly what is what's gone on so far with it. But I know that the OLG or not the OLG, whatever the British Columbia,
like
lottery gaming
BLG.
Commission, they said, listen, we're not giving you the prize. You signed this piece of paper that says that you're not supposed to be in the casino.
That's but just my, stupid.
My only thing is that if you cannot go and take the guy's money day after day after day when he's losing.
Exactly.
And losing and losing. You don't go, because you're supposed to say, oh, you're on the list. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be playing. We're not taking your money. Your money's not good here.
Exactly.
But you can lose your money there all day. But the moment that you want to win some money, they tell you no.
Yeah. What is going
on?
That's crazy.
I would burn the casino down. It's only 40 grand, but guess what? This guy's probably lost
his life savings.
Everything.
Yeah.
To the casino. So you got to give the dude his 40 G's and put his picture on the front door and tell these people this guy's not allowed in here.
Yeah, exactly.
When you see him, you don't let him in. Or whenever you're, like when I go to the casinos here in Niagara Falls, they swipe your ID. And when they swipe your ID, if you're on some sort of list, they should pop up and say, sorry, dude. You lose. You're not allowed in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, to me, that's just complete.
That's wrong, man. That's definitely like where the where a business is taking advantage of its players.
It's bullshit. And I hope this guy wins. I think he might even be suing them. I'm not too sure.
He better win because that'd be the ultimate gamble of his life right there.
It's 40 and G's.
Hopefully, like sues them for like whatever he put down into the casino, his winnings, plus everything else that he can possibly get out of these people. Because these casinos are rich, man. I'm telling you.
I would be down for 40 G's, though. I would. Yeah. I would fight it. Because even though I think that he's going to lose because he probably whatever he signed, there's probably some.
There must be some sort of weird loophole or something.
You know, even if you win a jackpot, you cannot collect because you signed this piece of paper.
They shouldn't have let him in.
But
they should not have let him in.
You should never let people through the door.
That's ridiculous. That's like saying, all right, I'm an alcoholic. You go around to all the bars and say, hey, don't let me in because I'm an alcoholic. It will destroy my life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to continue to be an alcoholic. I'm trying to get better. But they still let you in. They let you in. You drink. You get drunk. You go into your car. You drive. You kill somebody, right? Mm-hmm. So then the law is usually it's like the bar or whatever because the people who are serving you have the smart serve licenses. They're supposed to know when you're intoxicated or whatever else. If you're too intoxicated, they have to make sure you get a cab and you get home. So if this person goes inside of there, knows he's an alcoholic, they still let him in. He gets in. He gets belligerent. He gets drunk. He hops into his car, goes, kills somebody. And then afterwards they said, hey, it's not our fault.
That's exactly what would happen.
It's garbage.
It is garbage. So you know iPhone can control your coffee maker?
iPhone can do anything.
Oh, my God. What do you iPhone, you still got BlackBerry?
I still have Black. You know what? The only reason why I have BlackBerry because I have a really good plan with my carrier. But, and like their services don't support iPhones, which is ridiculous. But maybe because iPhones are just so much superior of a phone than BlackBerries. But I need to get an iPhone, man. I've never said this before, but they're just so much cooler. You know what I mean? You could do so much more with them. Yeah.
It's so amazing. It's the greatest. It's the greatest invention ever made.
Yeah, I'd have to say so. It's like everything that you need, all your personal, like whatever. It's just all there.
Everything you could dream of, this iPhone can do. I'm not even just saying it for iPhone, but the Galaxy S, our Android phone, like these new telephones are incredible, and BlackBerry is just so far behind.
It's ridiculous.
I'm surprised that company is even still. I'm sure it'll be around for a little while, but I think I even made a couple bets that if they don't do something drastic in the next couple of years, they will be out of business. They're going to be the new Palm.
The Palm Trio.
Palm Trio was the business phone. Everybody had one. The little stylus thing, and you press on it. That used to be the businessman's tool.
Yeah.
And BlackBerry came in, took over. Palm is now out of business. BlackBerry was the not. This is
they're
it.
The man. They're up there.
But their stock has just gone up because the sales of the BlackBerry Playbook have skyrocketed.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
It's doing well.
Oh, it's because they changed the price from $699 to $199.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you sell a whole lot more.
Yeah, I think so.
You sell a whole lot more when you drop it $400.
See, I think what BlackBerry will end up doing, I don't even know who am I. But anyways, what I think is that they'll probably sell their technology, if anything. Like, just get out of the cell phone market and just, like, concentrate on their security features that they
Word
have.
On the street is that they're letting... they're going to be letting other companies into their BlackBerry secure network. I don't know.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
That means. Like, one of the things why all these businesses and stuff is with BlackBerry is because they have like a secured.
Yes, like communication.
They have a secure network of however their stuff works. I don't know, but I think I just heard on the radio the other day they're going to be letting like maybe Apple or Android or somebody
see, that's the
come
only
in
way
or
HTC. Same business. Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's like Android is not a telephone. Android's an operating system.
Yeah, yeah.
So Android can be used by Samsung, HTC, Motorola.
Yeah, whatever, LG, whatever, yeah.
Can. So I think BlackBerry is going with, it's going to try to go on that route and let everybody else use their technology. Because if you really think about it, Android is... I've never really used one, but it's a dope operating system because it's starting to challenge iPhone.
Yeah.
On a much more serious topic now, I got to get serious.
Oh shit. We just finished talking about iPhones controlling your coffee maker.
I know.
And now you're going to get serious?
Well, it's because iPhone, I love it. I can't even believe that I even used anything else.
I want to get an iPhone.
I'm scared to know what's next. Like, I'm scared to see how far is this going to go? Because this is just an infant. This is a baby.
It's going to be like bracelets that you can wear on your arm. Or not even. You can have like contact lenses. That's like, you know, you can control like your phone. You can have it integrated into your arm or something. It's gonna be like, we're gonna have like bionic people.
It's gonna be so insane. I'm so looking forward to it, but it's got to be scary for a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
just because the technology is coming.
At it's such advancing a rapid so quick. Oh yeah,
pace.
Think about like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, like
10 years ago, we did not have the was
big battery packs. They were heavy. Batteries didn't last that long. You couldn't do that much. You know what I mean? Now you can like surf the web, all this crazy stuff on there.
Now I don't even use a computer. I use my iPhone. I'm like sitting in front of my computer at home, but I'm using my iPhone.
Well, it's crazy.
It's coming so far. But did you see Iran shot down a U.S. drone plane today?
Seriously?
Oh, shit.
All hell's going to break loose.
Iran's not fucking around anymore.
They're mad, man.
We're going to be going.
They're upset.
We're going to have a world war. You got your combat boots ready?
I got my combat boots.
I'm not going to war.
That's why we live in Canada.
I'm going hiding.
Thank goodness.
I'm going underground.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that I'm prepared. I got just letting everybody know, I got bad knees. I sleepwalk. I'm just completely reckless. I'm definitely not stable to be carrying a gun. But this is gonna be the beginning of, you know how these people who are predicting Nostradamus, so the world's gonna end.
Yeah.
This could be the beginning of what's gonna take place over the next year. So you're gonna see some major changes in how things happen in the world. Like the U.S. has got no money; they're bankrupt. They can't even afford. They're pulling out of Afghanistan. They're pulling out of Iraq.
Yeah.
Now Iran's like, fuck you, I'm gonna make nuclear weapons. What are you guys gonna do?
You guys are in debt.
You guys can't afford to go into another war.
That's right.
You guys are done. China's looking at them like, shit, we own the United States right now. They're looking
the
at
the next superpower, I think.
They're looking over at China. Taiwan. They're gonna go in and take back Taiwan. we're in for a world war. The British just took they just shut down their embassy in Iran. They got their people out of there.
Shit's going down. Stuff is
about to happen.
Oh my God, it's scary, man.
I really don't want to be there.
We have to be like really lucky though, because like you got to think like we've never had like any crazy wars over on our side of the world. It's always on the other side of the world.
Of course, we just go over to other places and blow their shit up.
Could you imagine if one day the tables have turned and having planes flying over our houses over here?
Oh, it will happen.
Like, I think so too. It's only about a time. Like, it's just nuts.
It's going to happen. I was listening to a guy talk the other day, and he was saying how, we can't let Iran get nukes because they're going to send dudes over here and blow up our buses and our trains with nuclear weapons, shit like that. And quite frankly, that could happen. They're also talking about this it's like an electronic bomb. It's like almost out of a movie. Like they can drop something out of the sky and then it shuts down all of your electricity.
See, I'm telling you, man, that stuff's going to happen. And I bet you there's people right now that are working on this in America, in Canada, wherever. They're working on this right now. And could you imagine, I've said this before, could you imagine if the internet shut down? Could you imagine if our electronic devices just shut down for a day?
Oh, we're
fucked.
We'd
be lost. We'd be screwed. We couldn't get money out of the bank. We couldn't do anything. Like, what the hell? Do you have candles in your house? I don't have candles in my house. I have candles. But, like, what the hell would you do?
I got scented candles.
What the hell would you do without the internet? Like, what would be the first... If everything that was electronic shut down right now, what would you do?
I would...
Like, you know what I mean? Like, would you go to the grocery store? Would be the first thing you do? Like, oh, shit, what's going on? Would you just chill out for a bit?
It would just be like when... Were you in Toronto when the blackout happened?
Yeah.
Okay, well... That was chaotic, and it was insanity.
It was crazy,
and it just shows you what really happened. Like,
yeah,
I remember I was like, okay, my roommate called me. He's like, can you come pick me up because the subway's not working? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I get into the streets, and I'm like, oh my God, the street lights don't work.
Nope,
traffic is a disaster. I'm like, dude, I can't get anywhere. I'm not driving down there.
Yeah,
and then we just met and drank at some bar. Like their fridges were all closed, but they kept all their beer on that whatever ice that they had.
Yeah.
They had candles lit up and stuff. But the it really shows you what will happen. Like, we're not prepared.
No.
The young people of today have no idea about, they wouldn't even know how to light a match.
No.
The way they get light is they've flicked a switch for forever.
Yeah. It's and ridiculous.
Once all this comes, if the electricity goes down, buddy, see ya.
We'd be people screwed. People are going to be
scrambling like rats.
Yep.
And I'll just laugh. I can survive.
You think so? I don't know, man. I've been questioned on this before, whether I could survive in the woods, like on my own. I think I could. I grew up in Northern Ontario.
I know that it could. I could survive for like a little while, but I would hate it.
Yeah. A lot of complaining I can imagine coming from you.
Oh, a lot of complaining. A ton of complaining. I hate bugs. I don't fish. I don't kill things. It's uncomfortable. Oh, it sounds like hell. I've done it before, and I can do it if I know, like, oh, you're going to go camping for 2 days. Okay,
there's a time limit. Yeah,
let me live like a caveman for 2 days, and then I'm going back to fucking real civilization.
Yeah.
But if I had to do that forever, I would.
Hell no.
Lose my mind.
I think I'd be able to do it, though. I don't know. I have a feeling.
What, you can you set up a tent?
I have a tent, man. I can set up a tent. 5 seconds.
Can you really?
20 seconds.
Is it one of these pop-up tents?
No, but it's pretty simple. It's pretty basic.
Do you have a tent?
I have a tent. Oh, I have a tent. See, and I just go around. I'd kill animals. I'd cook them up on fire.
Speaking of tents, this is a good time for me to go into our favorite segment. Tales from the Trip.
Tales from the Trip. That's right. Tell what's the whole general idea of this trip? What's this trip that you did?
The trip is the trip that I just went on for a few months.
The one where you found yourself?
Europe and Southeast Asia.
Where you created yourself.
And now I'm gonna tell just a little short story.
All right.
For my trip. And I'm not going to put any names, and some stories might be about me. Some stories might be about somebody else that I just heard. I will not confirm.
Some of these people may be fictional. Some of them may not.
I will not confirm nor deny any of these stories. But speaking of tents, I know people who went to.
I know some people that knew some people that know some people.
I know some people that went to Oktoberfest in Munich, Germany.
Oh, I wish I was there.
And, They had to set up tents because they went to a campsite instead of staying in hostels.
Yeah.
And well, this story is about me.
a friend of mine by the name of Jason.
Quite frankly, it really showed me that I'm clearly not ready for survival because I was with these guys from Australia.
Yeah.
We went to Oktoberfest a few days early. And we bought some tents in Budapest, and they're like, yeah, we're going to get some tents. We'll get these styrofoam bed things, a couple sleeping bags.
Styrofoam bed things?
It's not styrofoam. It's like a mat that you put down.
All right.
So I was like, all right, whatever. I'm like, I'm in. Here's $50. Get me in the game.
Yeah.
So we bought two tents, and we went out to the campsite. Then that was when I completely realized, like, I'm not as manly as these guys. Like, these guys are like, oh yeah, I know how to set up a tent. They're using, we don't even have to smash in the pegs. These guys are using
a hammer?
Rocks. We didn't have a hammer. Like, I couldn't even help them set up. I'm like, where does this go? I'm like, fuck, I feel so useless. I'm like, listen guys, I'm from the city. You guys are from the outback. I'm sure you guys
kangaroos
done this all the time, but I'm like, I never go
didgeridoos.
Never go camping, and that clearly showed me that I'm not as much of a man as those guys are.
You couldn't even set up a tent?
I could have done it, but not like.
Were
as
you lazy?
Quickly.
Were you lazy?
No. Like, I've never seen a tent like this. I had all these pegs and these stick things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Put
yeah.
it in, like it, and guess what? It's super simple. After I saw him do it, I'm like, oh, I could have probably done that.
Yeah,
but. I've never, and I never ever want to set up another tent ever again. I didn't like. We didn't even take them down. We left them there.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, that's
we
smart.
Left all of our camping stuff there.
That's crazy.
So we didn't want to carry it with us.
Yeah.
It's pretty much pointless.
So you're not an outdoorsman. That's pretty much the story of the trip.
Well, there's way good stories about Oktoberfest that I'm not going to get into because...
What? Get into them. This is the tent thing just shows that you're just not an outdoorsman, but like you start kicked it off with Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay, fine. We get to Oktoberfest. This is the thing, everybody, when you go to October, if you ever go to Oktoberfest, which everybody should definitely
I need to go.
Because it's from the so amazing. It's the greatest party that's safe. Everybody gets ridiculously drunk, but nobody fights.
You got to tell them about the shoe later.
And it's so cool. But when you go to Oktoberfest, we went for opening weekend, which is apparently the best weekend to go. And for everybody, Oktoberfest is not in October. It's in September. It goes from the middle of September for 3 weeks till the beginning of October.
Interesting. Which for all is you North Americans.
Kind of stupid.
Kind of drunk way of thinking.
In my mind. But yeah. Whatever. So we show up there on opening morning at like 5:45 in the morning. And believe it or not, there's like a couple hundred people in front of us in line.
That's nuts, man.
Oh,
from all around the world, I guess, too, right? Like people just
there's
come
people from
like
everywhere. There's locals. Everyone's wearing a lederhosen. All the women are in barmaid outfits. It's a giant costume party. Everybody's prepared to
It's like a pre-Halloween event.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. So we're waiting in line. They don't open the doors till 9:00. So we're sitting there waiting. Finally, like it's 8:45. There's thousands of people in line now. Damn. Because you have to get a table to get served beer at Oktoberfest. The beer wenches come out with 10 beer steins at a time, and they need to put them down.
On a table.
On a table.
Yeah.
So you don't have a table, you're not getting beer.
These girls must be strong.
These are big bitches. These are broads. All right. These girls, you don't mess around. They got bigger arms than me.
Biceps bigger than your head.
Lots. Oh, man. These That's girls are nuts. Insane. But they're really cool, and you have to have a table. So that's why everybody lines up so early, because if you don't get a table and you're just standing around, guess what? You're SOL.
Seriously, you can't even, like, say if you go there, you get in, but you're standing around a table. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're like, standing up with not without you, a, like you're not at a table,
you can get a beer, but
it just doesn't work as well.
It's way not easier. And it really depends on which beer tent you are. The first day we went to the Lowenbrau tent, and that tent has, I guess it's more locals. It's more of a local place than a tourist place for some reason. But we were there as soon as they open up the doors, they do a little ceremony, then they open up the doors and it's a full, like, get, you ever see Black Friday and people getting trampled at Walmart?
I need my PlayStation game.
When they open the doors. So
Macing people and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like that's exactly what it's like.
That's
it's like,
crazy.
Hang on, because you're squished up for 15 minutes. Everyone's squished. They open the doors and you just like run.
Floodgates.
You push, you shove, you eye gouge, you bite, you trip, you run in. And because I was there with probably like 10 or 12 people, we're trying to like stay together, but then
you get lost. Yeah.
So one half of our group was at one table. We were at another table, but we all got tables and you sit there and you wait.
And you wait again. So what time is this? So everyone gets
now in. Now it's 9:00 in the morning. They just open the doors.
Crazy.
They tap the keg at noon on opening day.
So what are you guys doing from 9:00 till noon?
Me and my boy Turtle, we were snorting snuff. And snuff is like it's tobacco, but it's like in a powder form.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And like, all right.
So we're there chalking up lines, and this like, and for whatever reason, you go to Oktoberfest and there's like kids there. There's not even an age limit, right?
No,
like you're supposed to be like 16, I guess, is maybe the drinking age in Germany. But apparently you have to be 16 to get into this beer tent. But you look around, there's like, it seems like there's almost like literally I saw little kids
drinking.
not they weren't drinking, but they're dressed in like this is a like family.
Yeah, like a family event.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
And I'm looking over and there's a table and they're like, it looks like a giant cafeteria benches. Like, this is what it's like. So there's another table right beside us, and me and Turtle were sitting there, and some guy's like, oh, I bought, because there's tobacco shops. They sell cigarettes, they sell cigars, they sell snuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They sell rolling papers, whatever you want. They have it there. So this guy, and it comes in like a little jar, and you just tap it down on the table, and it comes out. You line it up, and you snort it. So, and it's white. You can get white snuff, or you can get brown snuff.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
The first time I did it was in Kananchaburi in Thailand, and I didn't know what the fuck this guy was doing. He's like, do you want some snuff? And I was like, what is snuff? I'm like, isn't that porno movie where people kill the girl at the end or something like that? He's like, no, he's like, it's tobacco. And I was like, all right, why not try it?
Yeah.
And you sniff it, it makes sure it's like Vicks vapor rub in your nose. That's essentially what it.
So it like makes your nose numb.
No, it's like, you ever like smell Vicks vapor rub?
Yeah, yeah, and,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it, like, that's the effect that it has. I don't know what it does for you. All right.
All
right. So we're chalking up lines and we snort. And these people are looking at us like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like,
that's crazy.
Cocaine? Like, no, 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 no. It's just.
Snuff. No, no, it's snuff.
And so then you sit there, you wait. I bought a water. They bring me a stein of water. They're like, yeah, €7.10. I'm like, okay. So what am I going to say? No.
Yeah. Like, can you get food here at this place?
Yep. They got chicken, 22 euro for a chicken.
Now we're talking chicken.
They got pretzel. Everything's super expensive, though. Everything's like.
So obviously there's no fee to get inside this place. You just have to wait in line, and it's just everything inside is expensive.
Everything in there.
And like, what are the sizes of these beers that you're drinking? Like, are they
1 liter stein.
1 liter steins.
€10. It's actually €9.20. You give the beer wench €10. She does not make change. She does not have change.
Oh, yeah. What's the point?
She gets 80 cents a stein that she brings.
They must be making a killing.
They do. They make their entire living on
that one, those
3 weeks of Oktoberfest.
That's crazy.
Like, apparently these jobs are handed down. They're not, people can't apply for them.
No resumes. It's like, just like a family sort of.
It's like you have to be German. You have to be German.
Your great grandmother must have been a bar.
Like, people who've had this job, like, you should see some of these old
women,
lovely ladies. they've clearly been doing this for a long time, and apparently they make like 40,000-50,000 euros in the 3 weeks.
No way.
They work from 11 o'clock in the morning to 11 p.m. and all they do is carry out 10 steins at a time all day.
So. That's
and
crazy.
They get 80 cents a stein.
That's nuts.
So think of it. They carry out 10. How many is that? They're getting €8.
Yeah, that's crazy. For each trip that they make.
Each trip that they make.
That's unbelievable, man.
And you're coming to my table. I think we probably, the most I probably, nobody ever keeps track. Everybody brings markers
and
pens
and
you write down on your arm, this is my first stein. By the time you're done like 3 or 4, everything goes downhill.
Yeah,
the pen is used to write all over my face. And it's definitely not to keep track. I could never tell you. All I know is that my most expensive night at Oktoberfest, I spent €230.
Jeez.
I have no idea what happened.
Oh, my God.
No idea what I bought.
That's nuts.
But
that's
I know that I spent way too much money that day. Way too much money.
Oh, the memories are coming back.
Oh, if I could only remember Oktoberfest, they'd be so great. But so you sit there and you wait. And at noon, they make this big ceremony, all in German. It sounds very scary the way the Germans speak. And they have one guy up there and... I don't know.
He's making some sort of weird salutes.
Yes.
Looking over at you at the table, only black guy at the table.
Gives me weird flashbacks. At one point, I was probably the only black guy in my beer tent forever. There's not like there's a lot of black people in Europe, but like at Oktoberfest,
no,
there's not that many black people that travel. Period. I'd be the only black guy in my house.
People are scared to travel at times. I don't know.
I don't know why.
My parents, man, they always told me, like, you know, like, why you want to go here for? It's dangerous there. You know, people, you know, they'll try to attack you and this and that. They I don't know why my parents instill this fear into me. I like traveling, man. But it's true. There's certain places as a black man I would not go.
Like, don't ever go to Russia.
Never go to Russia. I think that's like common knowledge.
Oh, well, it wasn't common to me. I'll break into that story about the USSR, Russia, God. Moscow next time. But Oktoberfest, crazy. When they tap the kegs, it's like the party just erupts. The band starts playing. Everyone starts singing and dancing. And then it's just a shit show for the next. And we said that day I closed out Oktoberfest on opening day. I was there from like 6 o'clock in the morning. I was the last person. I closed out 11. I was the last person to leave.
That's
the beer tent, and I'm the man. And I met a beautiful young German girl there too, and she's like, everything is fantastic. If you can't if you can't pick up at Oktoberfest, you gotta be retarded.
But what about the story with the shoe? What happened with the shoe?
The shoe?
Was there something about a shoe?
You're going to have to check this out. I'll put it up on the internet one of these days. But when I get, I don't want to be so embarrassed because every time I look at it, I'm like, that's freaking disgusting. But apparently, I think this might be like a common thing, people drinking beer out of shoes. But I think when people do it, they drink out of their own shoe. But some random dude, I was drunk, Oktoberfest, I'm hammered. Some guy comes over, he's like, drink this. And he gives me an Adidas. You know, it's not even like a crisp new.
It's not even like an Air Jordan or anything.
This is I've been walking through the mud and shit for the past 3 months. Here's my nasty ass shoe, and I'm gonna fill it up with beer, and you're gonna chug it in front of everybody, which I completely did, and it was disgusting.
But you did it.
I did it, and I'm happy that I did it.
I wonder if that guy kept the shoe.
I didn't. I'm not dead, so it just shows you that.
Yet,
exactly. So what do we got, about 5 more minutes, 4 more minutes?
Well, hey, there's no time limit, man. There's no time limit.
Yeah, we do, because I got to
get out. I got to get to my job.
There's I got to get time. To work. I got to work.
Work and make some money so I can go back to Beer Fest and drink out of some more shoes.
But I'm going to construct I have so many stories about all of these crazy things that happened.
You got to tell people about this trip, man, because I think – it was probably like one of those trips that you just needed to do.
It was epic. Somebody just put me down on Facebook. Like, one of my friends, Stav, he traveled for a year.
Yeah.
And so he sort of just went through, like, over the past year, I met so many wicked people. And then he basically started from, like, when he was in Mexico. I met these people in Mexico, blah, blah, blah. This girl is wicked. This person's wicked. Yeah. This person's a legend. This person's an animal. This person's the worst. This person's the greatest. What does he say for Jason Maynard?
I don't know.
Mad pimp.
What? Mr. International.
I was like, oh, stop. You're the fucking man. Because... Well, we hung out in Budapest, and I think maybe Prague. We were in a couple different places, and he's a really cool Australian fucker. He's a super cool dude.
See, that's cool, man. See, that's what I mean. Those are the stories. Like, I think going forward, man, each of these podcasts, man, you gotta make black people comfortable to travel. Tell them all the good stories about traveling.
Next time, I'm gonna tell a story about
and people in general. Oh, nice.
Next time I'm going to tell a story about how somebody woke up at a hostel at Oktoberfest, locked into a kitchen of a hostel.
What?
Covered in sugar and vomit. Naked.
Oh, my God.
The story goes... I'm not going to get into the entire story, but the story ends with a guy and a girl being locked in. They like barricaded the kitchen, and then they woke up naked in the morning, covered in sugar and vomit. We'll get into that epic story.
All right. Well,
and this is the conclusion of today's podcast. I think it's getting a little bit better. I think we have a pretty good setup. I don't know if we're going to continue to do it here, if we're going to try to make this more mobile.
Yeah.
But hopefully
people will enjoy this once I put it up on the internet.
Get that stuff up down on there. Stop slacking.
I will.
Don't be a lazy.
Love the intro.
Yeah.
Outro.
Intro. Outro.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don't get pregnant. That's my answer.